This is the Maggie Donshaw here on the broadcast stations of Civic Media. My name is Jim Santel. I'm sitting in for Maggie, guest hosting this hour and next hour as well. As always, we here at Civic Media are delighted and honored that you've chosen to spend some of your Thursday afternoon in discussion, in conversation, in communication with us about some of the major news items, stories of the day. I thank Maggie for giving me this opportunity to have that discussion with you. And I want to tell you also that I am joined here in the studios of Civic Media, here in Racine's own Radio Park, by my outstanding producer, Jacob. And together, we are soliciting, we are encouraging your comments, your questions, your inquiries. Be a part of our discussion this afternoon. That phone number is 855-752-4842. Once more, that's 855-752-4842. Jacob always reminds me dutifully that you can also be a part of our conversation by dropping a comment, a question into the chat box. And we will not only acknowledge that, but thank you for that and respond to that as well. So be a part of this discussion this Thursday, September 4th, 2025, here on the Maggie Dawn Show. Let me tell you a little bit about what we're going to be doing both in this hour and then also next hour. Let me tell you that we have got some fantastic guests coming up to speak with us about two very different but somewhat related issues, not just in terms of the future of our nation, but also the future of our state, the future of our communities as well. In the second portion of this first hour here on the Maggie Dawn Show, we're going to be hearing from the mayor of Wauwatosa, Wisconsin. His name is Dennis McBride, and Dennis is coming on not only to talk with us about a new book that he is publishing in the very near future about the challenges of the year 2020 as a municipal leader here in the state of Wisconsin in these United States of America. But he's also going to talk, of course, about the other challenges of being a mayor in America in this time, including most recently those catastrophic floods that affected virtually everyone in southeastern Wisconsin, including but not limited to residents of his city, Wauwatosa. We are looking forward to having Dennis McBride, Mayor Dennis McBride, with us from the city of Wauwatosa in this, our second portion of our first hour here on the Maggie Dawn Show. The second hour, we have another fine, outstanding guest. Her name is Kristen Hansen. She is the executive director of Blue Sky Waukesha. Not at all surprising, invited her on the show because of the work that she, like Dennis, does in the area of education and civics in particular. Blue Sky Waukesha, one of those good organizations, nonpartisan, nonpolitical, that is addressing the present challenges in America by presenting to us academics and intellect and thoughts about the ways in which our government should work, encouraging civics and good citizenship across the board. Kristen Hansen joins us in the last two segments of our second hour here on the Maggie Dawn Show. A lot coming up, some great guests, some great conversation. Be a part of that. Be a part of our discussion about those issues and more. We are going to begin, however, Jacob and I are, this first hour by talking about education. Yes, indeed, education back in the news in two major ways, yesterday and today. One of them coming out of a place called Harvard University, another one coming out of a place called Northwestern University. Two different stories, both of those universities, major institutions in the Midwest, in the East Coast, major institutions in the United States of America on the face of the planet, facing attacks by our president and by this administration, alleging that they have not been sufficiently supportive of efforts to curb anti-Semitic behaviors on their campuses. You know a lot about what's happened in the Harvard campus. We'll also talk about what happened just today, the announcement, the perhaps not completely surprising, but nonetheless stunning announcement that the president of Northwestern University will be resigning, based in part, if not exclusively, upon the pressure and the focus that he has gotten as the leader of that major institution. The cancellation of $790 million in grants, research grants to Northwestern by this administration, prompting in major part the resignation of the president. We'll talk about that in just a few moments. But we're going to begin with what was going on yesterday and continues today in connection with Harvard University. You've heard of Harvard. It is the first institution of higher learning in our nation. And we know that way back in April, it drew the attention of a fellow named Donald Trump. He's the president of the United States of America. And he looked around and described the nation's oldest university as a wellspring of bigotry. Those may not have been his words, but he described Harvard as this place where, again, the policies and practices of the university, according to him, were not sufficiently responsive to the anti-Semitic behaviors and conduct on that campus. On April 11th, this administration sent to the leadership of Harvard University a major letter. Recall this. Maggie talked about it on this show. I talked about it on a thing we have going on Saturday morning called Amicus Law Review. We all talked about it here on the broadcast stations of Civic Media. We talked about this letter that the president authored through the Department of Education telling Harvard University that it needs to change. And that, in fact, if it doesn't change, its access to millions of dollars in federal research monies would be compromised unless Harvard acquiesces to some demands made upon it by this administration. What are those demands at the time, way back in April, continuing to this day? Those include audits, again, by the federal government of this institution, the establishment of what the president called a merit-based admissions hiring policy, which again sounds reasonable, except in context of how he views merit-based admissions and hiring policies. He called for the shutdown of every single diversity and equity and inclusion program on campus, and he also called for an examination and audit of what he described as the programs and departments of Harvard that most fuel anti-Semitic harassment or reflect ideological capture, whatever that may particularly mean. In any event, Harvard decided not to simply acquiesce, as have other universities. You know about that. Harvard responded on April 14th, just a few days later, and announced that it would be forcing the president to do what he needs to do, because they're pushing back on the efforts to try to compel Harvard to comply with all of these things, to intrude, if you will, into the liberty and the academic freedom, the First Amendment rights of the institution as both a place of higher learning and also a place where students come to hear diverse views and diverse perspectives. The trade-off that the president proposed, that is continuing with research funding from the federal government, or if you fail to do what I say, all of that's going to be cut off. The lawyers for Harvard wrote in a court filing in June that began the lawsuit. They said, all told, the trade-off put to Harvard was clear. This, again, according to the Harvard attorneys, telling the president, telling the nation how they were responding to what was going on. Here's the ultimatum, according to Harvard. Allow the government to micromanage your viewpoints and your academic institutions, or jeopardize your ability to pursue medical breakthroughs, scientific discoveries, and innovative solutions. That's how the Harvard University lawyers, the administration, the leaders shot back and said, we're not going to take that, and file a lawsuit. And in June and July, this is litigated in front of a federal district court judge in the U.S. District Court in Boston, that's Massachusetts. Her name, Allison Burroughs, B-U-R-R-O-U-G-H-S. We have heard from her before. She has been one of those many federal judges out there providing some guardrails to this administration and things it wants to do. She has entered orders previously in connection with this case. She holds a hearing back in July, and ultimately she reviews all sorts of materials. She hears oral arguments from the parties in favor and in opposition to what the president is wanting to do. And indeed, just yesterday, on the middle of the day, the judge issues her order, and she basically tells the Trump administration that it cannot do this, that it has broken the law. It has violated the law by freezing these billions, not just millions, but billions of dollars in research funds in the name of stamping out anti-Semitism. Again, this case focusing principally on research funding, but also First Amendment rights and due process rights that the president sought to strip away from the university. The university has undeniably been continuing to negotiate with the White House in an attempt to try to resolve this without giving up its capacity to lead and to provide policy direction to its academics, its students, do those other things that a university, any university, should have the liberty and the freedom to do in America. And in the wake of that, in the midst of that, we have Judge Burroughs saying no can do. She said, we must fight against anti-Semitism. She acknowledges that. But we equally, she said, need to protect our rights, including our right to free speech. This is the judge speaking just yesterday in her order. It's an 84-page ruling. She spent a lot of time putting this together based upon the evidence presented to her. She said, we also need to protect our rights, including our right to free speech. And neither goal, she said, should nor needs to be sacrificed on the altar of the other. Let me repeat that. She says neither goal should be or need to be, needs to be sacrificed on the altar of the other. She writes this. She says Harvard is currently, even if belatedly, she says, maybe a little bit delayed, but nonetheless is taking steps it needs to take to combat anti-Semitism and seems willing to do even more if need be. And so in the midst of that, she says, Mr. President, administration cannot be withholding these funds as a way of compelling the university to do what you wanted to do. She adds this, now it is the job of the courts to similarly step up, to act to safeguard academic freedom and freedom of speech as required by the what? By the Constitution of the United States of America. And to ensure that important research is not improperly subjected to arbitrary and procedurally infirm grant terminations. That's a shot right across the bow of this administration. No arbitrary and procedurally infirm grant terminations, even if doing so risks the wrath of a government committed to its agenda, no matter what the cost. Let me repeat that. Even if doing so risks the wrath of a government committed to its agenda, no matter what the cost. Those are the words yesterday of Judge Alison Burroughs, U.S. District Court in Boston. When we come back, we'll tell you more about the consequences of that. We'll tell you about another aspect of this coming out of Northwestern University when the Maggie Dawn Show continues.